Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
And welcome to our guest,
Thank
Chaplain
you.
Sonia from Fort Carson. Wonderful to have you with us and to meet you. We've been having a series, actually, of discussions of explorations of refuge. This evening, this may be the last for a little while of this series, at least, of my talking about it. Here on the eve of spring. Yeah. Kind of wonderful to have a dusting of snow just right on the eve of spring. not that there won't be some good spring snows, we hope. So this is kind of field notes about refuge. What has been sort of speaking to me about it. And the first of those things is that taking refuge is not a once in a while thing, or at least not only a once in a while thing. That it feels more like refuge is something always present. And present in an interesting way. You know, I might proclaim it. I make a vow of refuge. And yet, always my refuge, my home, my nature is in the presence of awakening. Because not only that's what everything is made of, but it's what I'm made of also. And so, that awakening as the fundamental nature of me and us and this is home, essentially. Always ongoing in me and everything. And likewise, refuge in the way things are, which is one of the meanings of the Dharma, how it actually is, how things actually are, essentially, how they work too, how things are and what works and doesn't work, right, which is an aspect of how things are, what we're taught, what we learn about that Dharma, is always here, and everything is always teaching me. There is never any lack of Dharma. There is never any lack of awakening. And there's never an absence of it. It's ongoing. And in the same way, in the Sangha of all beings, the family of all of life and death, with me in our mutual aloneness together, our interpermeation, I becoming of you and with you, and you of and with me forever, while I am at the same time inexpressibly alone. That mystery of Sangha. So, not just a once in a while thing, it so interestingly is both wanting to be vowed, wanting to be said, wanting to be offered to, wanting to be received, acknowledged, as when we hold out our begging bowl. Yeah, and when one thing that really struck me about refuge is that in a way what our vow is not to turn away from it. Not to turn away from the offering that is present all the time, from the home that is here. Not to leave, rather than to find something. Yeah? We don't have to vow to find something that's already here. But we might want to vow not to turn our backs on, not to refuse the gift. Yeah? And so the koan that came to mind as a companion for this piece of my sense of refuge is the one that's from Dogen, the storehouse of treasures opens of itself. You may take them and use them any way you wish. And I love that image because the way it feels to me, refuge is utterly simple, not fancy, no decor required. And no, I don't need to have the stuff of anything around me in refuge. Utterly simple, and yet, the storehouse of treasures opens constantly. And then there is the offering we can make with it. Yeah, we can make of it. We can bring it into the world. We can use them as we do. So a sense of plenty, of nothing lacking, and yet really not the presence of stuff. So it has both of those aspects as I feel it out. And so in a way, if we're asking, what is refuge from? Then what comes up in this context is refuge from a nagging sense of want, right? That in this simple refuge where the storehouse of treasures opens of itself, floor, water, people, walls, the teachings, there is an absence of that nagging sense of want. And so what's protective about it? About taking refuge in what's here rather than looking for refuge in what's absent. I think we can feel how the next vows that we take, I vow not to do harm, flow right out of this, right? Because when I'm not acting out of a sense of want, out of a sense of lacking, something lacking, then I'm not really going to do any harm. So refuge itself has a protective quality. So the second thing I noticed about refuge is that it's helpful to remind myself and to recommit myself to this as a vow. So in the first place, there's no need to go do anything. It's here, right? But in the second place, it's really helpful to recommit because those refuge vows are protective and energizing, empowering. And I can hold them. You know, I notice that when I forget, when I'm beleaguered, yeah, by doubts, by fears, by change itself, yeah, I can hold these as a talisman. And so in order for them to have that power, it's really helpful to have a discipline of regularly making those vows. So it's not like when I feel like it, or when I feel like I need them. There's something different about having a regular discipline of making the vows. And it's one of those things that we might have learned as a little child, I did, you know, to say every night prayers. Not because I felt like saying a prayer, but because that's what we do. And we tend to sort of, in this culture, think that everything has to be because I made a decision to do it, right? Mm-hmm. That shadowy individualism that dogs us. Mm-hmm. But to make the vow because what we repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat is then accessible. It then comes when we need it, right? And so in making that vow again and again and again, I incorporate it. You know, that I love that word, incorporate. It becomes part of, it's in your body. You know, and so it becomes like muscle memory. And then that's how it's protective. And then the easiest way then, I think, to access them once, you know, as they are incorporated, then is just to stop and listen. Yeah? So, in the moment when I need those, when I feel that need to touch the refuge that's there, I can remember to stop and listen. And that comes from the confidence that it's there. Not somewhere else, here. So, the third thing that I noticed is that these three vows are really three expressions of the same vow, of the one vow to land here, not to turn my back on what is given. And simply to let go, to release whatever I am hanging on to, whatever I am obsessing about, and land here, over and over and over. So, how are these three vows expressions of the one vow? If we start with one way to see that, I think, is to look at these three refuges as the three bodies of Buddha, as the three bodies of awakening, or as expressions of. So the vow to, I take refuge in Buddha, I take refuge in awakening, has that quality of Dharmakaya, of the vastness, of the absolute, the presence of vast, boundless being. Yeah. And so, if we're not talking about three separate things, but we're talking about three aspects or ways to notice the one thing, then one thing we notice is the vast emptiness, the spaciousness of this that's always present when we can release our gaze from being full of the concerns of the moment. Yeah, when we feel around it, what's there? And the second vow, a vow, I take refuge in the way, in the Dharma, That one helps me come home to the amazing good fortune to live in this particular dream and have responsibility to it. So to the creative power of the way. And in that I include like all the aspects of the way, the teachings as they have come to us, yeah, the generosity of our ancestors, and of those who will come, and of the trees and stones and clouds and obnoxious loved ones and and colleagues, right? The teachings that are here. And there's something about that vow to accept that the creativity of this meeting of the vastness and the particular instance of this, right? That the energy of creativity that's in that is where we are making our expression, as Bodhidharma says, yeah, your expression of the actual body. And so to accept that and bring it forth by the creative power of being to meet what comes. So that's one way of looking at Sambhogakaya, or it's known as the bliss body, but bliss not necessarily in the sense of ha-ha, right? Or the body of merit sometimes. And so if we see that as this meeting place, dynamic meeting place of the vastness and our particular circumstance, our particular for instances, you can sort of feel that dance and the creativity of that place of Dharma, of that this is how it is, this is how it gets expressed. And so then the third vow, I vow I take refuge in my companions, in Sangha, to me then has this sort of lightness of coming home to the reality of the ways we need each other and the ways that we together express how it is. But I just realized I had a koan I wanted to bring in for that second vow. And it's this one. Anzan went into the mill to see Sekishitsu. And Anzan said, "It's not easy, is it?" We know how that feels, right? It's not easy, is it? And Sekishitsu said, "What's so hard about it? You fetch it in a bottomless bowl and take it away in a formless tray." And to me that has so much the quality of that meeting place, right? You fetch it in a bottomless bowl. You hold this, what is, in a formless bowl. And you carry it forth, you offer it. Yeah, on a formless tray. So it's that meeting place where we stay always inhabiting that place where there's no stuckness and bringing it forth. So the third vow, coming home to the reality of the ways we need each other, and that it's the particularity of us, not some abstract each other, not like we're all wonderful, you know, as a sort of tasteless porridge, yeah? But the particularities of us. And not necessarily so much my opinions about us, although those are particularities too, right? But the actual delicious specificity of each person, each being, that That's what's liberating and has the power to liberate. The stuffness, right, of our lives. That's what we work with to make something beautiful happen. There's a koan for that came up for this one too, which is someone asked, what is the pure, untouched Sangha? And Jiaozhou said, a young virgin. And the person asked, what are the people in the Sangha? And Jiaozhou said, the virgin is pregnant. And so you get that sense of the impossibility of us actually being the pure, right? And we are, you know, just as we are, just with all of our impurities, that's the pure Sangha. That's the only Sangha that can come forth and really have power. Us. So this place where we have the power to do some good in a world that needs us is also the place where we are sand in each other's oyster shells. Yeah. It ain't easy. And all of our personal and cultural baggage, which are themselves the stuff of our transformation, because what else are we going to be working with to transform, yeah? To transform us and to bring joy and release suffering. It's the very same stuff that makes us scream and cry in one wrong way. Yeah? So I guess I had a fourth thing that came up, which was that refuge can appear to us as a grace. And it's helpful to recognize that its workings are mysterious. It's not something that we will get a handle on, that we're going to understand. And can we be okay with that? Can we recognize it without having to try to grab it and make sense of it and understand it and explain it? Mm-hmm. Can we accept that grace? And our vows, our further vows, arise out of that, out of accepting that grace. And so I found this song, Nina Simone, coming up for me with this one. And that was a particular instance of when she sang her song, you know, I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. So she sings, I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. You know that song? I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. And then she goes on, and there are many lovely verses, but in this one instance, one performance that I'm aware of, she flips it towards the end and says, I do know how it is to be free. And so we know and agree that everyone should be free. And what struck me about that so strongly was that, you know, after she sung, I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things that I can do. Just this list. And then when she gets to that, it felt to me as if this was her refuge vow. And in the actual doing of it, in the singing of the longing, she's taking refuge. And out of that comes her awareness. I do know how it is to be free. And here's my vow, that we all should be free. And so, in a way, each time we express that longing, that taking refuge, I take refuge, which is full of longing, and which we chant right after our purification, that we are invoking the very refuge that we long for. And in it, we have the strength to come forth and make our vows not to do harm, our vow to do good, our vow to do good for others. So I think that's all that I have to say about that right now. And we have time, and I would welcome any conversation. What comes up for you about this?